But today is an incredible day in history. 68 years ago, I came into this world kicking and screaming. And I haven't stopped. And our dear sister here, my twin, celebrates this day as well. So whenever there's more than one of us, I think it deserves mentioning that it's an important day in history. So remember that, okay? Okay, well, it's been quite the week. Started out with the eclipse and saw quite the vision of God's handiwork. You know, that's the only way I could describe it, you know, what happened in the skies. You know, I was all ready to forget about it because it was so cloudy at our place, you know, about 10 minutes before the eclipse was to start. And then miraculously, the skies, the clouds parted, and there we saw the reality of the sun, the moon, and the earth as their orbits all met up in the same spot. So it was quite the experience. And we witness the Lord's hand all around us. And it's important to acknowledge that God is at work. I think we're going to see some interesting things in the very near future as Iran has stepped up this attack on God's people, the nation of Israel. The Bible is quite clear as to what happens to those who try to destroy his people. And down through history, we've seen it over and over and over again. But people don't learn lessons. And, you know, the countries surrounding Israel want nothing more than to obliterate Israel from the face of the earth. And the scripture says that's not going to happen. And we'll see in these days that God is at work. And a great opportunity for us to talk with our friends about what's happening. So know your scripture and know what's happening with God's plan for this world. And we may see a groundswell of people asking questions and looking for hope in a world that is about to implode if things don't change. Let's pray before we go into God's word. Our God and Father, we thank you today for the privilege of being together, the opportunity to sing praises to your name, and now to allow your spirit to speak to us through your word. Father, we are so glad that our lives are in your hands. And whatever the outcome in history as these events unfold before us, we trust you and we pray that your will be done. And as we look at these verses this morning, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that we would know that you are present with us and you're desiring us to learn and to grow. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord, praying that your spirit would work. We give you thanks. It's in his name we ask. Amen. One of the most basic claims of Christianity is that God speaks to his people. God speaks to his people. All through scripture, when you read it, you'll read the phrase, "And God said." And over as we read, we get the picture that God really does speak to his people. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. And there's no relationship without communication. And God has chosen to speak to us. Now, the problem is communication is often misunderstood. For instance, when Candy speaks to me, A, I don't hear it, or B, I misunderstand it. I'm sure I'm not the only man that ever felt that way. You know, I have learned that there are two things you need to know to understand women. And when I figure them out, I'll let you know. If I have that kind of difficulty with my wife, who I spend a good part of time of my life with, and love and know that we need to talk to one another, how much more should we expect to have problems in communicating with God? There are communications, difficulties with communication between God and ourselves. I'm quite skeptical at times when people come to me and say they have a clear word from the Lord. A lot of stupid things have been done by people who claim that God has spoken to them. And I'm always surprised that the clearness of the message seems to be pointed at me. And I go, well, that's interesting, because I didn't get that word. I didn't get that communication. But they always seem to have a clear word. Some people think that pastors always understand exactly what God wants us to do. And that's not true. I'm often as confused as everybody else is about what God is saying to us. But then on the other hand, there are times in my life, particularly, I can only speak for myself, when God speaks and I have no doubt whatsoever that He is talking to me. That He's talking to me. Just like when my wife calls me on the phone, I don't have to ask, who is it? All I have to do is look at caller ID and I know who it is. No, I know her voice when I speak to her on the phone, and I know exactly who it is. There are times when God speaks to me and I know exactly what He's trying to say. He's put an idea into my mind, and I know where that impression comes from. Well, what makes a difference? What makes a difference? Well, often the difference is our attitude. And this morning, I'm going to begin a short series on tuning your ear to hear God's voice. Back when I was, I don't know how old I was, I got this radio for my birthday. It was bigger than the transistor radios. They were starting to grow. But it was portable. I could carry it and take it with me. But I always had a problem with finding the station I wanted to listen to. And I had to turn that tuning dial, and you get a lot of white noise trying to hone in on that particular station that I want to listen to. And if you're with others, you know, everybody's got their own taste of what they want to hear. And I say, no, I don't want that one. I want another one. And I'm just trying to find it exactly on the tuning dial. And that's sort of the reality of how we need to tune our ears to hear God. We have to have our ears adjusted so when He speaks, we hear. And it takes some work to accomplish that. It just doesn't happen. You've turned the on button on and then it's going to happen. No, it's like that old radio. You got to tune in that dial so that you can hear His voice. Luke 8:8, from the passage Jack read, it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So this morning I encourage you to get your ears on. All right? Get your ears on and tune in, because I believe that God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. Now, Jesus told this story in Luke 8, was a parable. Parable is just a story that had some significant points and direction to it. And I believe that this parable of the sower, the farmer, it's all about our mental attitude. There are four kinds of attitudes that will depend on whether we hear the message clearly from God or whether we don't. And this is so important. Because obviously, if you're tuned in to hear God, He can direct your life. He can help you in decisions that you're making. He can be a part of the emotions and the realities of how we respond to circumstances that perhaps are overwhelming. If our ears are tuned into God, He can help us with that. He can guide us. So He tells a story here. Now, we got three professional growers sitting over here, and I hope that what I talk about, seeds and growing and whatnot, jives with your experience as growers. If not, you can correct me afterwards with a clear word. Okay. But Eric, and is it Katrina? Camilla and Arjun, you know, or we all know the abilities they have in growing beautiful flowers. But here the farmer, he's not growing flowers. He's growing grains and whatnot as sustenance. And he goes out into the field and begins to scatter the seed. And the scattering is called broadcasting. Interesting. It's called broadcasting, just like the radio. They broadcast the signal, so the farmer broadcasts the seed. And usually he walks down the path and he's throwing seeds one way, he's throwing seeds the other way. See, they didn't have roads back then, so people took the shortest distance from A to B, and they didn't care if it was through somebody's field. They just were going to another point, and so they wore a path through a field. And this farmer also walked down that path, broadcasting his seed as he goes. Now, these four soils represent four mental attitudes. They're not four kinds of people, but actually, they're us. They're you and me. And how we respond to the seeds that God is planting in our hearts and in our minds. All of us, at one point in time or another, we are one of these types of soils. Sometimes we're very open to hear God. We are open to what He says to us. And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're very closed. So how do we hear God speak? What is it that we need to do in order to hear His still, small voice? Because most of the time, He's not using a megaphone or even a microphone. He's speaking to us with a still, small voice. And we need to understand that we have to be able to recognize that. Well, first off, I believe that we need an open mind. An open mind. I need to want to hear from God. I need to be eager as well as receptive. I have to be ready and willing to hear God. Some of us, or some of those in the church today, we have the non-believers, we have the seekers, we have the ones that have been, that believe in the Lord and are recent believers, they're babes in Christ, we call them, or they're the ones that have been in the church and have been part of God's family for years and years. But if I ask you this morning, have you ever heard God speak to you? There are many who might say, no, I've never heard Him. I've never heard that still, small voice. I can't remember a time in my life where I've actually heard God speak to me. Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. Sometimes it is audible, you know, when He really needs to catch our attention. But the majority of the time that God wants to communicate with us, it's in the stillness of the night. Or, you know, as you're driving 120 down the 401 and He speaks to us. Maybe through your wife, you're going too fast. Why is that? One of the possible reasons is that we are not open to the possibility of hearing. Maybe we don't even know it's possible because we're not spiritual enough. You know how that seems to affect us? Like, oh, I don't know enough. I haven't been in the church long enough. I'm not like Sister so-and-so over here, or Elder Jack, or you're Elder Jack, sure you are, but over there. But, you know, there's a sense of insecurity, and you know, I don't even know if it's possible. And so you just shut down because you have a closed mind. And if we have a closed mind, then obviously God's not going to get through to us. This is the first type of soil. In verse 5, it says, some seed fell on the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came along and ate it up. And those, in verse 12, it says, those along the path are like people who hear, and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts, so they cannot believe and be saved. So that's the first soil, the type of soil. The hearts are closed. They're not interested in hearing from God. They're just taking up space, sucking out part of the oxygen, and they don't really care if God speaks or not. On every farm, every field, there's a footpath used by the farmer or the locals. Now you might find a 4x4 path down a field. But as they would sow the seed onto the land that was tilled, the seed would not be able to penetrate that footpath. The characteristics is one that is hardened because of the constant traffic of people walking, and the soil becomes compacted, and it's not fertile, and it's not tilled like the field. It's very hard. The other is that the path is very narrow. It's not a very wide piece of land. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know anyone who has a closed mind or a narrow mind or hard-hearted? They just are not interested. They're just oblivious of what Jesus can do for them. And they're not even open to the possibility that God might speak to them. And as a result, Jesus says the farmer sows a seed, but it can't penetrate because of the kind of soil, hard and compacted. It can't take root, it can't sprout, it just lays on the surface and becomes feed for the birds. Now, this is true with us sometimes. God wants to speak to us, but he doesn't even get a chance because our mind and hearts are closed. Our hearts are hardened. We've made up our minds, and we're unwilling to listen. We've already decided what we want to do and how we're going to do it, and we don't need any help, thank you very much, because I can figure this out. You ever been there? Yeah, of course we have. Because that's a human struggle that we have. Do we let the Lord lead, or am I in the driver's seat? Now, what causes us to have a closed mind? Well, pride. Pride is one reality. When I think I don't need God, well, that's pride. I don't need to hear from God, that's pride. I can make this decision on my own, thank you very much. That's pride. And when I'm full of pride, then I'm not going to hear because my mind and heart is closed. Then there's fear. Sometimes we're just afraid of what God might say to us. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm quite comfortable right now. And, you know, I'm afraid what you say to me is going to become messy. And I don't do messy. I lay all my ducks in a row, thank you. And as soon as those ducks get going in every different direction, I get nervous. I get uptight. I get anxious. You know, what would happen if God tells you that you have to do something you don't want to do? So we become afraid, fearful, if we let God speak to us. Another is bitterness. That's one that is often the root of a closed heart and mind. And bitterness usually comes as a result of being hurt. And we hold those who are hurtful, you know, very close, and our mind closes to God. We start asking God, why did you allow this to happen to me? If you're such a loving and powerful God, why did this happen? What you do with the hurt that is fed to you will determine whether you become a better person or a bitter person. I always say when circumstances hit us, we have two choices. One makes us better, the other makes us bitter. And that's our choice. And oftentimes we choose to become bitter. And bitter, I'm afraid, is a life wasted. If we hold on to bitterness, our life becomes wasted because our mind and hearts are closed. People who have been deeply hurt often have a hard time opening up to God and trusting Him. And they hold on to that hurt for too long. Now, if you've been hurt, let me say two things to you. One, I'm sorry that you were hurt. But God hurts with you. Understand that. When you're going through those painful days, know that God is right there beside you every step of the way. Understand that He knows the pain that you're going through, and you can trust Him with it. Two, I want to say when you are in pain and when you are hurt, don't run from God, but run to Him. Don't run away. Run to Him. Our churches are full of people who have run away because of the pain that they've endured. I have experienced probably more than you can imagine, the pain and the hurt from the hands of other people. And I don't stand here saying that I understand why or what, for what reason. Some of those times have sent me spiraling where I was ready to give up. You know, I always thought God had given me an out with driving a transport truck. I used to do that when I was in university, drive a truck. And every time I hit a wall, being hurt by some situation or circumstance, I looked to the open highway and thinking, man, that looks a whole lot more appealing than what I'm doing now. But you know, at every single time, the reason I'm still doing this is because God has told me, I didn't bring you this far for you to give up. I didn't gift you the way you are gifted for you to cash it in and crawl into a cab of a truck and drive day in and day out. No. And God just has reminded me that, yeah, things are tough. And I know all of us have gone through experiences that have been hellish. And they have hurt. And it's unfortunate. And oftentimes they're at the hands of people that we trust, people that we love, people that we serve the Lord together. And I don't understand, but it's just a reality of how Satan wants to rip God's church apart. And he does it through hurting one another. It might be just the way somebody looked at you. Or it could be somebody who comes up to you and say, you know, I have a clear word of the Lord from the Lord for you, and you need to get the heck out of here. And I've been party to both. But nonetheless, we need to learn to run to God rather than run away from God. I don't understand how come people always leave the church when we as the church need to see that this is an opportunity to bring healing to relationships and understanding that God is with us every moment of every day. James 1:21 says, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word that's planted in you, which can save you, rather than let that seed get eaten by the birds. So the first step in hearing God speak is I need to cultivate an open mind. The second, I need to take time to listen. I need to take time to listen. I've got to slow down. I've got to be quiet. I need to plan it into my schedule even, if need be. How, when you look at your calendar, how much time do you give the Lord? Or does he just get the leftovers? Just the time that we have left over. The second reason we don't hear from God as often as we should is because we're just in too much of a hurry. And our world just is pushing us faster and faster. And let me tell you that this is the reality of Satan's attack on us and the church. People have become far too busy in their life. So many things that we think are so important that we have to do, but we will not say no to them and say yes to time set aside to the Lord. We say we want to hear God speak, but we tell him, you know, it's got to be quick because I'm in a hurry. The seed in verse 6 says the other seed fell on shallow soil with rock beneath. The seed begins to grow, but soon withers and dies for lack of moisture. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Just as that hardened path, the closed mind, the shallow soil represents the superficial mind. It's shallow. And when he talks about rocky soil here, he's not talking about dirt with stones in it. The reality over in the Middle East was that there's a bedrock of limestone with only a very thin layer of dirt on top of it. And so the seeds could not penetrate that limestone bedrock. And so they would go into that little shallow part of soil and it would grow, but then it had no ability to sustain life. And it just withered and died. This is a superficial type of hearer. Here's the word of God. It sprouts up. They become all excited, but it just doesn't last. And then they throw in the towel. Sometimes we hear God and we get all excited. We are superficially moved and we react emotionally and we're moved impulsively. But then life takes over and we don't have time to nurture that growth because we're just too busy. Who has time to do that? Why is it that we don't change? Well, studies have found that we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. Can you believe that? There are individuals that wouldn't fall into this. My sister is one because she can tell me what I did 30 years ago that I thought was insignificant, but apparently it wasn't to her, you know, and she has to remind me. But nonetheless, you know, normally, most of us, we forget everything we hear in 72 hours. And that's just a real depressing thought for a pastor. But that's why we write notes. And whoever thought of this on the back of this sheet of paper, that's what we need to be doing. I sit beside, in the church that Candy and I attend, a 75-year-old fella. And he's busy taking notes. Every sermon he hears, he's taking notes. He's taking notes. And it's impressive to me to see a man of that age taking notes because he wants to remember. He wants to think about it. He wants to meditate on it. He wants to apply it. And that's why we write notes, to review later. The shortest pencil is longer than our longest memory. And if you don't write it down, well, you just forget it. And if you forget it, then we can't work on it. The verse calls the second person. It says they receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, they don't have any roots. He's saying you can be thrilled with the message you hear, but that doesn't equate with transformation of your life. You need to write it down so you can think about it, process it, meditate on it, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and in your mind. We need to cultivate an open mind, and we need to allocate time to listen. The third, we need to eliminate distractions. A lot of times we miss hearing God because our minds are crowded with other thoughts, concerns about daily life, worries, our plans, our goals, our ambitions, the bills we have to pay. All these kinds of things accumulate in our thinking. And because there's so much going on, we don't give God a chance to silence all these things long enough to get through to us. Many times God wants to talk, but all he gets is a busy signal. He wants to speak into our life, but the line is off the hook. And you don't want to do call waiting for God. You got to make time. That's the reality. We got to make time. And the older I get, the more I realize I need to take the time, because things are happening far too fast for this slow mind to catch up with. And so you have to stop. And if you refuse to stop, then the reality is don't expect God to get through to you. You won't hear from him. Verse 7 says, other seed fell among the thorns or the weeds. They grew up with it and they choke out the plants. The seed that fell among the thorns stands or represents those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. A soil with weeds represents a distracted mind. The seed sprouts, but it's choked out by the weeds and it never is able to grow fruit. Why is it that so many people live unproductive lives? I've been pastoring for over 40 years and I've talked to young people, I've talked to college and careers, young adults, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and they say the same thing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I go, well, how can you go through life and not know what to do? What's going on? It tells me one thing. You're not spending time with the Lord. You're not taking the time to listen to God and understand that he wants your life to have meaning. God has no intention for you to blow and waste your life. And if you spend as much time with God talking about your life as you do about worrying about your life, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. That's the reality. Jesus says that distractions are a kind of weed. And he gives us three examples. First, worries that can distract us from hearing. You can't pray and worry at the same time. It's impossible, because if you're worrying, then you're not praying. And if worry is taken over, then shut it off for a moment and pray about it. And understand that God will help you with those matters you're worrying about. The next he talks about is riches. They're a type of weed. We can be so busy making money that we don't have time for God. So busy making a living, we don't really live. Because all we're doing is making a living. We don't experience life. Because we're so caught up in how much it costs for us to live that we never eventually live at all. Another is pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasures. Who do you think gives us the ability to enjoy life and the pleasures of life? God gave them to us to enjoy. But he says to us, you can be so busy having fun that you forget God. Thinking that all these activities, you know, and all these toys that we have to play with in life now, we're spending so much time doing that that the result is we don't have time for God. Now, here's a very theological question for you this morning. How much effort does it take to grow weeds? How much effort does it take to grow weeds? Zero. Zero effort. No matter how many dandelions you pull out of your lawn, there's always 10 more the next day. How many weeds you pulled out of your garden, there's handfuls the next week. Weeds just grow. And that's a reality of the distractions of life. If we don't control them, if we let them control you, then they will overwhelm us and take over. The fourth is that we need to cooperate with what God says when he speaks to us. Friends, if we want to hear God speak, then we need to plan in advance. We need to make a choice before he speaks that says that I'm going to do whatever he says. We have to pre-plan and build our life from that perspective. God talks to people who are going to do what he tells them to do when he tells them to do it. This fourth soil represents a willing heart. It says the seed lands on the good soil. It stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word of God and retain it and by persevering produce a good crop. That word retain. They not only hear, but they retain it. And they retain it because they have thought it out beforehand, knowing that when I go to church, am I coming to church with the expectation that God is going to speak to me? And that expectation, then when he does speak to me, I'm going to act on it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to be oblivious to it. But unfortunately, we come to church and half of us have been running so hard this week that we're barely awake. Sometimes when I look at people, they look a little comatose. And it reminds me of the long-term care home I work at. But the reality, if we are expecting to hear from God, then God is anxious to meet that expectation. He's anxious to talk to us. And there's no age limit here either as to who he speaks to. He's not ignoring the youth and speaking to the aged or the older. He's not ignoring the older. And, you know, and I hear that all the time. Well, it's my turn to sit back and relax. You know, I've done so much over my years. You know, it's time for me to just enjoy. Well, you need to read the scripture as to what the church is all about. Because I'm sorry, there's no getting off the train until the conductor says it's time to go home. You know? And that means from the youngest to the oldest. We are all responsible to hear God speak to us and then to listen and respond and act. And that's what this last type of soil is all about. we were able to retain it. What would you like in your life to make it count? What would you like to become more productive, more fulfilling, a more satisfying life? Is it a nicer car? A bigger house? A better paying job? Well, James 1:22 tells us, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. You kid yourself if you think you're growing just by going to church. Do what it says. Do what the scriptures say to us. And when we do that, the Lord will bless us with a productive, fulfilling, and satisfying life, one that we never dream of. Back when I was making the decision about going to seminary or going out into the business world, I had a job all lined up with Westinghouse. I had graduated from Laurier, had a degree, I had a job. And then God smacked me pretty hard with my pastor's son dying on our wedding day. And I realized life is just too short to be going half-cocked in whatever direction I think I want to go and ignoring what God wants me to do and where he wants me to go. I gave in reluctantly to go to seminary. The last thing I wanted to do was to be a pastor. I lived in a pastor's house. I knew what it was like. And I understood that it's not what it's all cut out to be. I knew the pain and suffering because I saw my parents go through it. And so I said, I'll go to seminary, but forget about the church, thank you very much. And I figured with my business education, I'd help a mission or something from that effect. But you see, God had other ideas. And over 40 years later, I'm still doing what I said I didn't want to do. But you see, there was a willingness to hear God speak. And boy, when he spoke, it powerfully moved my heart. And it changed our perspective. And I took this poor girl from Kitchener all the way out to Winnipeg, where we didn't know a soul. Not only did we have to learn to get along with each other, but we had to figure it all out as to what God was asking us to do. But if we don't listen, if we don't have expectations that he's going to speak, then we're going to lose out on the life that he wants for us. And it is beyond our comprehension. He wants more than we could ask or think because he loves us that much. If you want that for your life, then decide here before you get up out of your seat that you're going to do just one thing as a result of what you've heard today. Just one thing. Because once you decide that and then put your mind and your heart to accomplishing whatever it is, God begins to change that heart to make it more receptive, to make it more tuned in to God's voice. But we need to do something. You're going to go out that door, and the thing that's going to hit you as soon as you go out that door, if it's not raining, will be, what am I going to do for lunch? Thinking that's the most important decision you got to make. And all that is Satan distracting you. Is Satan taking you off course? And you know, you go home, and you'll have lunch. You'll sit in front of the TV and watch the Masters. And all of a sudden, you'll get caught up in the golfer's shots on the golf course at Augusta's, thinking that's so important. And again, that's another distraction. But if you decide now, one thing, you know, and pray that God would hold us to it, we can push aside the distractions as we move forward, not just today, but in the days ahead. Let's pray. Lord, you've told us what to do. You've said that you want to speak to us. Help us to have open minds. Help us not to close our mind and heart to you. Help us not to be shallow-minded, but to really review and think about and study and go over the things that we've learned, that you've taught us through many days. When you speak to us, help us to care enough to write it down. Otherwise, we forget. Forgive us for having to learn the same lesson over and over and over again. Help us not to be distracted by good but secondary things that would keep us away from spending time in your word and spending time listening to you and talking to you in prayer. Help us to have an open mind and a willing heart to do whatever you want us to do. For it's in our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.